Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers. I got a special show today. We also, I also want to play the audio or the song, or one of the songs, or one of the many songs that this artist has written, produced, and sung. So I'm just waiting for my computer to cooperate with me here, and then I want to play one of her songs. The title of this song is called Get Your Mind Right, and we'll be interviewing Janine Smith. So bear with me one moment. I'm just waiting for, y'all know how technology is. But while we're waiting for this to queue up, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Welcome, everybody, to today's show. Again, we are going to be interviewing one of my now clients. She's a client now, but originally she's accomplished everything on her own before joining the Life Management System. And so today we have the honor and the privilege of interviewing singer-songwriter from Brooklyn, New York, now hailing from somewhere in Germany. But I'll let her break that down for you as we talk to Janine Smith, and it's slowly coming up here. Well, actually, while I'm waiting for the song, I don't want to keep you guys waiting. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Janine. I'm going to have her come online, and then we'll get to the song once my computer cues it up, so that way you guys can hear her. So, Janine, I'm going to unmute your mic, and hopefully the audience will be able to hear you okay. So bear with me one second. There we go.
There we go.
All right. Janine,
yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes,
okay,
I do. Let me
turn my mic off. Let
me get the feedback. Okay, that's fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You gotta hear feedback though.
Let me see here. Hold on a second. How am I gonna do that? Okay, how about that?
There we go.
Is it better?
That's great. That is
okay.
That's a whole lot better. So, well, all
okay.
Right. Just thank you so much for joining us on today's show. So, man, we've got a lot to cover in this hour. I don't want to waste any time. I'm waiting for the song to cue. I want to play that. First, but go ahead and introduce yourself to the my listening audience. Just let them know I had to use my phone. Normally, I use the other mic on my computer, so my audio may not be as good. But you're coming through loud and clear. So go ahead and just introduce yourself to the listening audience. As far as give us your name, where you from, and we'll just start with the basics
okay.
Right now.
All right. Let me see how I'm gonna do this here, because actually, you know, we doing two sis. Okay, I think it's registering. I just want to make sure that this other software program
okay.
is picking up my voice. All right. Yeah. So my name is Janine, as the fine brother Will just said, and born and raised in Brooklyn. And you know, before we get this party started, right? I want to just, you know, just say a prayer for everybody who is joining in on this call, and for Brother Will, and just for the divine energies for this moment. So, you know, so that we are all of one mind and of one accord. Yeah, so heavenly, holy, holy of holies, divine providence, Pleroma, the Ruach, the highest, the big G, the creator God. Thank you for this opportunity to be on Blog Talk Radio with Brother Will. And I'm very thankful for this opportunity, and surround us, protect us, cover us all, every listener in a divine white light. Let us speak. Let the thoughts flow unhindered, uninhibited. Let it touch the ones who need to be touched. Let it heal the ones who need to be healed. Bless Brother Will. keep him covered in your protective light, and his family and everything that he does, and everything, everywhere that he goes, and just giving thanks and praise again for this wonderful chance that we can all meet here together tonight. So, and everybody just say, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Where should I begin? Shucks, man. I'm just like, I'm living in Germany. I've been here for 20 years now, and I'm an artist. I'm a singer, a musician. I write songs. I direct choirs. I teach kids. I teach older folks. I would say almost every kind of music, but, not country and Western or opera or anything like that, but gospel, blues, soul, jazz, funk, R&B, work with a lot of different musicians. And, I just been on a soul-searching mission, and around about 2015, I hit an all-time low in my life where I realized that I was so disconnected from myself. It set me in a tailspin. I just plummeted into like this big, deep, dark, black abyss. And in searching for some solutions, for some answers on this path, I came across you, my fine man. And we've been connecting and communicating and, you've been reaching out. I've been reaching out. We've been connecting, and here I am.
Outstanding, outstanding, outstanding. Let me make sure. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you quite well. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, all right, everybody. I do have the song queued up. I want you guys to listen to this song. This is one of her songs. I want to play this at the intro. Just to show you some of her talent and skills that she brings to the table. Very, very powerful sister, very powerful song. And then we're going to jump into how we met and be able to break down for you why we are doing today's interview, why I wanted to have her on the show. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and play this this powerful song. And, again, I do apologize for the audio, but this is the only way I could play it legally.
Just one of those days when nothing seems to go your way, working at a job that you hate. Too much work and too little pay. Lately, ain't been feeling good. Misunderstood. And you've had enough for sure. Nothing makes sense with this weight on your chest. If you could just catch a break, then everything would be okay. Step into a fantasy. Recreate your reality. For higher frequencies, come on and vibe with me. When you're feeling stuck, feeling not a lot, before you give up, get your mind right, get your mind right, get your mind. Get your mind right, get your mind right, get your mind right, yeah.
All right. That was Janine Smith. Get your mind right. All right, my sister. Let's break this down for the people. So,
yeah.
How did we meet? How did you come across my stuff, my teachings? What was, do you remember our first correspondence? First email, first text. How did we connect?
All right. I would say we connected, I think if I remember correctly, we connected back in 2017. Yeah, that's right. Back in 2017, last year, I'm talking like it was eons ago, but it was just last year. And I'm going to just say right up front, I'm a number seven. So, you know, whatever that means for, you know, other sevens out there, for me, it means that I'm like, how can I describe it, man? I'm just hungry. I just be hungry for some knowledge, man. You know what I'm saying, man. I just be hungry for some knowledge. I say sometimes that YouTube be like an oracle, man. But it only works if you know how to ask the right questions. You know. So
yeah.
You know, we have already assessed that. You know, you talk on such a whole nother level. You'd be pressed to find people who can flow with the level that you are on, and the way that you think, the way that you express your thoughts, how you operate. You know, just how you vibrate. And I was obviously I was on that path as well because I was drawn to you. You just popped up in my search because I was searching. I don't know, man.
Right.
I was searching like some DNA stuff. I was searching my zodiac sign. I was searching like some deep inner dimension, inner realm stuff, you know. And and I came across you. And your biggest message, what stood out for me was you have to study yourself. And if I start to break down and cry, I got my package of tissues right here. Let me get them handy because I'm gonna tell you one thing. The older I get, the more emotional I get. Don't front. I'm an emotional woman. Leave me alone. Yeah, man. The biggest message what spoke to me was just to learn about you. You know, just figure out who you are and what you're all about. And you just had like this blueprint. Man, should have made a t-shirt, man. Should have wrote an album about that, man. But you know, you broke it down, man. You just, you know, like the blueprint, man. Dig that, the blueprint, like the master plan of your life. What you all about? What numbers are vibrating in your construct, in your body, in your system, in your world? How do the angels, the divine, the higher powers, how do they put you together to manifest here on this planet to present whatever gift that is inside of you that you need to present? You know what I'm saying? So that stuck out. That was it. That was the missing piece of the puzzle for me. And it opened up a whole new dimension for myself. So it's not to say that I don't still search around for questions that I might have, still using the YouTube as an oracle. you know, looking to get more into meditation, to look for the answers more inside of my DNA, inside of my inner Akashic records and things like this. But, yeah, you opened up a whole new dimension for me, man, for real.
Wow. Absolutely, sis. So, man, that is so powerful, so important, because you are the only client that I have that wasn't a client up until recently, but yet you vibrated and you pretty much did your own deal in the report. You did your own research. You listened, tuned into the shows, the free shows, and then some of the pay-per-view stuff you've joined in. But let's go back a little bit before we get into the life management system. Growing up in New York, Brooklyn, New York, black female, let's talk about the early years of Janine Smith. Let's also talk about your son. Let's talk about, relationship. And the third question, three questions, one, growing up Janine Smith, two, your relationship, relationships that led to, your family, and then three, how in the world does an African-American or a black woman end up in Germany speaking fluent German, now teaching people how to speak German? How does that happen?
Whew. Okay. All right. Born and raised straight out of Brooklyn, and I grew up in a three-generational home. So it was my grandmother, my mother, her sister, my aunt. I had an uncle as well, and then my mom, she had her kids, me, my sister, my brother. I am the youngest of three kids. My sister went on and have kids of her own, so we ended up being a four-generational family under one roof. And what I have, put into a nutshell, I say it like this. I was born a 10, but I was programmed to be a 0, right? My family comes straight up out of Jim Crow, sharecropping. they come straight up out that mentality, man. It's like, slavery was over. Black people got emancipated some way, somehow, and now it's time for us to move to the north. So my mama and my auntie, they said, well, let's go to the north and let's check things out, see what's happening up there. And then when we got things squared away, we're going to go on back down and get mama, my grandma, and, we're going to bring her back on up, and, we're going to rock it out like that. That's how my family, that's how my mom and my aunt did. So I think that was the most progressive thing that they did in their whole entire existence, to move to the north.
Mm.
So, my grandmother comes out of a family, out of a history of abuse. My mom told stories of having to run out into the backyard, hide behind some trees, when daddy came home drunk, would proceed to abuse my grandmother, and they would just be outside in the yard just listening to all the chaos and commotion going on. So, I'm going to say like this, they brought those demons with them up to the north. I don't know how they got it organized. It's not really so important, but first they had, an apartment. They looked for some work. And then eventually they bought a house in Brooklyn, and then they got my grandma. And, they were three women. They outlived all the men. My grandma I was in a female household strong. My mama took tar paper up on the roof and tarred the roof on her own. My mama was a brick house. My mom was no joke, boy, let me tell you. And my grandmother went on to work 30 years as a nanny, as a housekeeping, all around family housekeeper for a Jewish family in Long Island. That was her job for 30 years. She took care of the kids. She raised the kids. They had nappy hair. She just cared for them and grew them up. And they took care of my grandma, man. They paid her nicely. My grandma ended up getting a fur coat. They gave her, like, nice payouts, of thousands of dollars and stuff. And, I got stories for days, man. Tell me when you want me to stop. But Yeah, and I basically grew up in an abusive household because this was all that my family knew, especially my mother. This was all she knew was to exercise her emotions through violence. She had no other kind of coping mechanisms, you know. So, when it got too much for her, man, she wild out on my sister, on my brother, on me. On her own sister, on her brother, whoever was ready and available, and they wasn't acting right, they'd be a target. The neighbors, you know, I can't tell you how many times the police were at our house. We called the police, they'd be like, "What house? Oh, that house. We know that house. We coming." You know, so it was serious with us, man. Yeah.
Wow. So how did you get into the I'll start moving into the direction. Talk about your son reminds me so much of my son. He's right about the same age as my youngest son, Kendrick. And then your son is, wow. I mean, it's really eerily how, far as their frame structure, the way that they look and what have you, it's almost like they could be brothers. And so tell me about the relationship, on the relationship side of things, and then kind of segue into music. What led you into music, and then how did that get you to Germany? So you can kind of start talking about, relationship that, or your first relationship. Well, I don't know if that was your first relationship, but relationship that ended up with your son.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a big jump. Well, let me see here. Hold on a second. Hold on, bro. it's been a long journey up until this point, of course, and I had to fight through a lot of self-esteem issues. I felt, while feeling worthless, you know, while having no self-esteem, at the same time, I knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
I knew that something was not kosher with my family. I knew something wasn't right in the world. I just felt that inside. I'm like, how am I going to be on this planet being a woman of darker hue, and y'all just going to be hating on me for what reason? Because I'm a different color? Come on, man, I don't make no sense. You mean tell me the mighty God, he made me? And y'all you know what I'm saying? It just don't make no sense. Nothing makes sense to me. You know, I'd watch television, you know, watch all those commercials, watch The Cosby Show and all these things. And it was like not a representation of my own life, man. It's like nothing made sense.
Mm.
You know, I'd go out into the world. I didn't know how to function, really. I'd be a constant target, victim. I had low self-esteem, like you wouldn't believe. You know, I can't even begin to describe it, how serious it was. I mean, on the positive side, you know, I think being the baby of the family, I might have gotten it a little bit less than my brother and sister did, but nevertheless, man, it left a mark on me, you know. And back in Brooklyn, growing up as a young girl, going through school, I had my issues there, you know. I was talking to my son the other day, man. My son, he is like not only a beautiful soul, but he is somehow or another, he is the opposite of me, man. He is like a physics head. He's a future scientist. He's top of his class.
Yep.
You know what I said to him the other day? I said, "You know why you're so good in physics? Because you got love, man. Because you're surrounded by love, family. You got people who love you. Because if you can't concentrate, because you got issues at home, ain't nobody got time for school, man. Ain't nobody got time for learning nothing. If you don't feel like in your cosmos, your home cosmos situation, you don't feel whole and complete, you can't function. So." I came up out of a broken family. Didn't have a daddy. I have only memory of my father. I made my peace with that because I know he's with me wherever I go anyway. And he served his purpose because I'm here on your blog talk show. So shout out to daddy. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for him, this all wouldn't be possible. So I couldn't function in school. I played hooky a lot. drank beer, smoked cigarettes in the 7th, 8th grade. I was on my own program. Go back home, just deal with whatever I could deal with. Got love when I can get it. Got my ass beat when it was time to get one, you know, and I just kept it pushing. Shoot, I even called a suicide hotline one time, man, and they was busy. I called the suicide hotline, Joe, they was busy, man. I got the busy chick. I was like, this ain't right. I ran away from home, son. I got my report card from sixth grade. I will never forget, I had 29 U's in my report card. Unsatisfactory, 29. I was like, I can't go home with this report card, because if I go home, if I go home with this report card, my mom will see this, you know, I'm going to hear it. It's going to be all kinds of drama in the house. I am just not in the mood. I got home as quickly as I could after school. I proceeded to pack my suitcase, and I left. I went to my teacher's house. I knew where she lived, up the block around the corner, you know, and put my suitcase behind the bushes by her house, and I went to my girlfriend, my homegirl at that time, and she's like, oh, you know, you can't stay here because my mama, when she see the shoes at the door, she's going to ask me, you know, but I know this place, I know this church, you can go stay there because they take in teenagers all the time. I was like, all right, cool. So we went over there, I got my suitcase, went over there, and this pastor of this church, he was like, yeah, but we still got to contact your parents, so, you know, unfortunately, you can't stay here. I was like, man, you just can't get a break. I can't stay here, not even for a night to ease my mind. Man, come on. Like, no, sorry, you can't stay here. You got to call your parents. I don't know how long it took. Half an hour. I was not going to give this man my number. But at the same time, he was not going to let me stay. I gave him the number, and the police came and picked me up, brought me back home. And, my mom, she was worried. Listen, I'm not mad at my mom. She did the best she could with what she had. And I think, you know, deep down behind that iron facade that she had, what she still has, you know, was a really soft, wounded, mushy, ushy, gushy, loving, passionate heart that never had a chance to represent, you know. So she was worried about me that I didn't come home after school. And so she made joke of it, you know. She's like, this is your suitcase. Let me see what you got in here. Ha ha, you packed that. Ha ha, you packed that. You know, okay. So I didn't get no drama. It was what it was. But as a consequence of me having such a bad report card, I was not allowed to go to my graduation, and I was not allowed to go to my prom. So here I was walking around like a thrown away child in the school, peeking my face in through the gymnasium door where they had the party at. Everybody dressed in their fine outfits, their fine gowns, and there I was, you know, the constant outsider. The constant outsider, that was me. So, and that's how I left the sixth grade. So, yeah, man, yeah, struggle. Every day I'm struggling, man, I'm telling you. It ain't no joke. Yeah, you know, just dealing with that abusive household, you know, I can break that down into bits and pieces, but, you know, when you know something is not right, but you don't have the language yet, you don't have the knowledge yet, you don't have that inner wisdom yet to be able to express what's really going on, but you just know something is not right, and I just felt it, yep. I just knew it. I was just biding my time. I was just waiting for the right opportunity to present itself. I mean, I've had some beautiful moments. I'm not going to paint it all black. I had some beautiful moments.
Right.
One of them was when I was in high school. That was another one of my low points in my life. I was mad, depressed, unhappy. I had some friends, but I had nobody who really... I wanted somebody to just take me, you know, like take me in their arms, just give me guidance and be like, Janine, girls, you only knew how powerful and how great you are, you know. I just wanted for somebody to just take me by the hand and just show me, you know. And I just felt lost. I was just depressed. And I was in school one day, in this high school. My mom put me in a Catholic all-girl high school. I mean, we went to all different kinds of religions anyway. We was Jehovah's Witness. We were Baptist. We were evangelists. And then we became Catholic. So I was in this all-girl Catholic high school for the ninth grade, walking around with this big old long face because I was just depressed. And I got mobbed, man. I got picked on by the kids. They threw spitballs at me. And I'd go home and tell my mom all the time what was going on. And she's like, well, if it's so bad, because I'd be complaining to her all the time. She's like, if it's so bad, then just stay home. Don't go to school. Just stay home. I was like, all right. So I just stayed. And then after about a couple of days, the principal called. And she was like, Miss Smith, you know, it's against the law to keep your child at home. You can't do that. No, you got to send your kid back to school. And she's like, yeah, well, okay. My mom didn't know no better. She didn't know what else to do, so she said stay home, so I stayed home. I went back to school. The principal called me to her office, and she was like, yeah, Janine, I got this letter from an anonymous person, and I just want to read it to you. And so she proceeded to read this letter that somebody wrote to me and said, I've been watching you, and I know that you have potential. You know, the school is planning a school trip.
Yeah. All right.
The school is planning a trip to France, and I know you got something special inside of you, and I'm gonna give you this trip. I'm gonna give you a trip to France.
Wow.
And that was my first time there. That was my first time leaving the States and going to Europe, you know. I was 14, man. She said, the only thing, you know, you should never find out who I am. It's not important for you to know who I am. And just pay it back, you know, pay it forward. Look for another girl, another young girl who needs assistance, who needs support, who needs help. And, you know, I heard you like law. You know, you can earn some pocket money when you're in France, do some babysitting or whatever, being a tutor. You know, I wish you a great time, and this is for you, you know. And yeah, I got an all-expense-paid trip to France from an anonymous giver, man. I have an idea
wow.
who she was, but, you know, yeah, like that. So that was my first time having to apply to get a passport, and first time on an airplane, and me alone with my class, and, yeah, man, that's what's up.
Wow. So how did you get into music? One of the videos you sent me was you was a backup singer for who again?
I was backup singer for Will Downing, way back in the day when I was still in New York. No, and there was this when I was in high school. There was this teacher, Lance Hardy, I'll never forget him, black dude. He came to me on the first day of school, kind of snuck up behind me, the whole cafeteria full with all the different classes, everybody waiting to get divvied up to see, you know, who the new teacher's going to be for the school year. And he came over to me and he said, somebody told me that you know how to play piano. You know, I've been already taking lessons, you know, piano lessons and taking voice lessons and so and. You know, I wasn't really shy. I was a rambunctious girl, man. You know, I was robust. I was loud, but when it really came down to it, I just had low self esteem. But you know, I never really believed in myself. But he said, somebody told me you know how to play piano. I was like, yeah, I guess I do, but just only for me. He's like, well, I want to start a school choir this year, and I want you to accompany this choir. I was like, word? So work? You want me to do what? Accompany a choir? Me? So, yeah, he guided me and he stuck by me. He busted my chops too. You know, it wasn't no walk in the park with him. He was also a theater. He comes out of theater. Yeah, and then we had this school musicals, and one musical that we did was called Guys and Dolls, and he organized like an awesome a working crew. One of them was a choreographer, and the other one was a pianist, an awesome, beautiful black piano guy, man, lived in Manhattan. I fell so in love with him. I mean, not in love like, you know, I want to be your girl kind of in love, but I was, I guess you just call it infatuated. I was infatuated with him. He was so talented. He was so smooth. And he did jam sessions in Manhattan, and he had a following, groupies, and he was just the bomb, man. And, yeah, I started following him, and I went over to get some piano lessons for him, and, yeah, but still never really going over that over that threshold, that point to say, okay, I'm going to really pursue music, you know, full-heartedly. But at least to him, I got my first official gig at the high school that I was going to. I got paid $1,000. I got paid $1,000
wow.
while I was still in high school to accompany the musical Guys and Dolls. I was the musical director for that musical, man. How about that as a high school kid, you
wow.
know? Yeah. And, yeah, and I continued to follow him. Michael is his name. I continued to follow him over the years, finished high school, went to college, you know, followed him through his different jam sessions that he would host in Manhattan. And, you know, I wasn't too organized. I wasn't organized with my musical talents and abilities. And I get up on the stage for, you know, sing my song. And he'd be like, you know, what song you want to sing tonight, Janine? I was like, Misty. He's like, what key you want to sing it in? I was like, key? I don't know. He's like, sing the song. Look at me. Okay, everybody, E flat. Let's go. Here we go. And, you know, it was the same thing every night, man. I didn't know my key. But eventually I started playing piano for myself and accompanying myself. Yeah, just, you know, on and on, just hitting and missing, hitting and missing, hitting and missing with this music thing. Yeah, being infatuated with this guy, Michael, and never really feeling completely accepted by him until finally he broke it down for me one day. He was like, you know, Janine, you know what the real problem is? He's like, I believe in you. But the problem is that you don't believe in yourself. I was like, son, word? Word, son? And even at that time that he told me, I still didn't get it. You know, I still had to walk this path. I still had to go through it. I still didn't get it. But I was like, okay, you might be right, but what's the recipe, man? What's the program? What's the pattern? What's the blueprint? How do I come to the point to believe in myself? How do I do it?
Yeah.
When I was programmed all of my years, beaten, verbally abused, mentally, emotionally abused, how do I overcome that trauma to all of a sudden start believing in myself? Anyway, so
yeah.
He just left me with that. He just left me with that little small tidbit that I need to believe in myself. And one day he finally, after all these years, I don't even know how long I knew him, maybe like over 10 years or so. He finally found himself a girlfriend. Not that color matters, but let me just say she was a white woman. Nothing against white folks, but I'm going to just say it how it was. And and they was a hit. You know, all of a sudden it was him and her on the stage, and she just took over the spotlight. And, you know, everybody else had to fall back. And one day they announced that they was getting married. And I was like, okay, cool. All right, and I decided I was not going to go to the wedding because I didn't feel particularly welcomed or anything. So I said, okay, I'm gonna just chill. Let them just, you know, have their life. Everything is good. At this time, I'd moved back to my mom's house. I was in the middle of a process anyway after having met some people in Germany, and yeah, but he called me. He was like, hey, Janine, you know, I heard that you're not coming to the wedding and so, but I'd really like for you to be there. If you need help in your transport to get into the location, because they were upstate New York somewhere in this big, big mansion-like house, like Get Out, you know, the movie Get Out. They were like in this big house, you know, this big property. Like, if you need help getting there, I can arrange it for you. And that was, and after, I was like, oh, I felt like he wanted me. I was important for him. Oh, now how dope is that? On his wedding day, he called me. I was like, all right, well, you know I got to go. So I, you know, got myself all dolled up, dressed up, headed uptown, took a bus, waiting for somebody to come pick me up, and they had this big, beautiful stage built up, like the jam session moved from New York upstate, and had this big stage built up with lights and this big, beautiful white grand piano, and they were dressed like Woodstock style now, blue leather pants and feathers hanging out their hair and all kinds of things, and yeah, and then the evening time came. I was there the whole day. Evening time came, sun went down, and they was ready to put on the jam session. All the groupies from Manhattan, the people who have been following them, me too, of course, they was all there. And this one woman who was the host, she proceeded to call one artist after the other, one singer after the other. So now we're going to walk them to the stage. Bob go up, sing his song, clap, clap, clap. Okay, now we're going to walk them to the stage. Shaniqua, whatever. Everybody went up. And I was the last one sitting there. And you know, they didn't call my name. She didn't call my name to, I mean, I was nervous anyway, like thinking to myself, what am I going to sing? Shit, what key is it in? What kind am I going to sing? But shit, I'm going to sing me a song because you ain't going to have a moment like this. My man get married and I'm here to see this. So let me sing a song. But the woman, she didn't call my name. They're like, okay, everybody, thanks for coming. Now, everybody have a nice time getting home, blah, 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 you know. And I went up to her. I was like, yo, what happened? Why you ain't called me? You know, I wanted to sing a song, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. You got to go talk to his wife because she's the one who's controlling everything. I was like, okay. So I went over to her. I was like, hey, why? I thought I could sing a song, too. She's like, oh, you know, we're just so really tired, and I just really want to go home with my man now. And the police and the neighbors are complaining, and the police keep coming, and we want to just make a close for the evening. Oh, okay. All right, I said. So I just started to get my stuff together, prepare myself to get back to the city. Now, here he come. Hey, Janine. I just want to thank you for coming. I was like, hey, man, hey, no problem. It's all good. You know, I wish you and your wife the best for the future. You know, I'm heading back home now. It was a nice event, you know, and I left. As I got back home, I proceeded to write, yo, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm a communications artist. Oh, I'm a communications artist, son. You hear me? I'm a communications artist. I proceeded to write the most eloquent, creative letter one could ever create. Unfortunately, I don't have it anymore. That was over 20 years ago. But I'll never forget the last sentence. I said, your wife gave me a kiss on the cheek like Judas did Caesar and Brutus did Jesus. And your other little moderator, friend, she was also into the plan. And just good riddance to all of you, you know. I just said good riddance to all of you. And at that time, we had beepers, right? I had a beeper. You remember beepers, man?
Oh yeah, of course.
You know, and I sent that letter to him, man, and I got a beep on my pager. I guess he wanted to talk to me, but I had nothing else to say. So in the next phase after that, I had already shipped some boxes to Germany. Had my ticket already ready, and I was out. I was like, I don't want to talk to you no more. That broke my heart, man. That really broke my heart. And what breaks my heart to this day, what breaks my heart to this day is that, unfortunately, this woman is still sucking up the limelight. And, with as much talent as the dude has, you know, I'm saying, shoot. You know,
well, why,
I don't know, but. Go ahead.
Out of everything that you've been through and everything that you went through at that moment and kind of having, you know, yeah, the limelight stolen, so to speak, and why Germany? What was it about Germany that after all of this that happened, why did you end up moving to Germany? Why not, you know, London? Why not Australia? Why Germany?
Yeah, I was hanging out in the village in Manhattan one evening, you know, just partying it up. And I met some people from Germany. They were visiting, mm-hmm. and I just became their instantaneous tour guide. Showed them around, you know, the city and told them the best places, you know, where they could visit and things like that. And, you know, I made them feel welcome, you know. Shoot, you get to know me. I'm a nice girl, man. I am a treasure not to be lost, son. I'm telling you. You know, I showed him a nice time around Manhattan. We went to the clubs. You know, we enjoyed some good music. We danced, and before they left, went back to the hotels. We exchanged contact information. We stayed in touch. They invited me to come out to visit them. Yeah, I came out to Germany to visit. One thing led to another. I met another Black American woman who lived out here, who was already doing her thing, already representing, you know, doing music as well. And I was already presenting my music talents. You know, I was dancing. I was also dancing at the time, singing. I was just this bubbling creative spirit. And she said to me, you know what, you'd be really good here. She said, you would be really good here. I was like, word? For real? Oh, okay. She's like, you should come here. And so, and I sent all my boxes, my most important things, my important papers, my important books. I sent it all over to her, you know, little by little, box after box. And nobody knew what I was doing. When I was ready to go, I said, Mom, I'm leaving. Where are you going? To Germany. I'm out. Nobody got it. Nobody understood. Nobody knew nothing. I was just out. And I took my last package, what I had with me, and I got on the plane. I was out, man.
Wow. So you get to Germany, you're here in Germany, and tell the audience about your experience that you've shared with me about, you know, starting a choir from scratch, building that choir up, and then what happened after that? You know, how many people was in that choir? And then just kind of share with the audience what you shared with me about that experience.
Yeah, okay. So after doing various performances here, you know, I'd done some cruise ships, you know, worked with some bands, went on tour with the Black Gospel Choir, and so I started to direct my my own choirs. It became great business, not in just a financial sense, but this idea of directing a dynamic group of German people. And in the beginning, I didn't know how to speak German. I picked up little bits and pieces, some words here or there. And if I didn't know something, I'd ask, how do you say this? Or how do you say that? Or what did she just say? And little by little. And I've been directing choirs over the years. For about like 6 years ago, I got this one bomb-ass choir. It was a dope choir. This woman, she sought me out. She saw an article in the newspaper from me, an interview that this newspaper did of me, because she herself wanted to start this choir. And she was looking for somebody to direct it. She already had somebody directing it, some guy, but he wasn't the right match. So I came, we had like a kind of a test run. It was all these women, everybody all excited. Now, you have to imagine, like, women, not really housewives, sort of kind of like housewives, but not like your typical housewives, but the kind of woman who was at home. She don't have to worry about having a job because her man brings home all the money. Her bank account gets stocked up every month from her man, you know what I'm saying? She can search any hobby she wants for herself, so I was working with women of status, I would say. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it was like 88, about almost close to 90 women in the very beginning. The room was full. I went on to direct this choir for about 6 years. And around about 2015, we had this really big event. It was a choir based on charity. They weren't looking to collect money for themselves. The only expense that this choir had was me, the pianist, which I brought on board, and the rental cost for the room that we were rehearsing in. Other than that, any proceeds that this choir would get, they would always donate it to charity. That was their motto, their thing. So we had this big charity event where we were collecting money for a kind of a sports association to encourage kids to engage in more sports, because now there's money available to purchase equipment and things like this for all different schools. So we were raising money for this sports association. And I had to direct, there was a band that came out of Hamburg, this choir. I did a duo with my my pianist. I was also the moderator. And we it was a major event, man. We had like this television program that came in to interview this choir. It was in the newspapers, and I got myself an evening gown for that day, man. And this choir on that evening, they raised almost like 27,000 euros. They raised on this evening 27,000
wow.
euros. And the woman who organized this whole choir and you know, got this choir thing, you know, the one who sought me out, she's like, yeah, but you know, it's not my money. And how much do you want to have for this event and, you know, for all your work, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, we've been rehearsing for this event like months, and I'm the glue that's holding this whole thing together, the power woman on the stage. And so I don't know, what should I say? How much money do I want? I'm a single mom with the kids, you know, so give me 2%, give me 5% of the earnings for the, you know, what do I say? I have no idea, but I just said, okay, you know, should I take 500? Yeah, okay, I have to ask. You know, I mean, these women, they don't have to worry about money. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole nother world up there, you know. So I just said 500. I could have said something else. I was like, okay, 500. Let me, you know. So, yeah, we did this gig. Everybody was happy. And then at some point down the road, we went on to have some other gigs. That was also, you know, fine. But at some point down the road, and I still don't know to this day, something started to go awry. The mood was different. They were starting to take my piano player over me, like putting preference on him over me. You know, I was, and he already made it clear to me, like, I don't have any desire to take over the choir. I don't want to direct the choir. You're the one who's changing the music, and it's your thing, blah, blah, blah. It was clear to see that they were pushing me to the back. They kept diminishing my monthly pay every month. From year to year, it would get less and less. They'd tell me I was too expensive. They asked me why I wasn't letting the piano player play more, you know, on the keyboard. And just like weird stuff, man, just weird stuff started to happen. So me being professional as I am, I tried to go about it different ways. First, I wrote a letter because, you know, I like to communicate. So I wrote a letter, not pointing anybody out in particular, but just making a request to the ladies that if there's something that I did wrong, if there's something that they're not satisfied with, if there's anything at all, you know, you can always talk to me because I sense that something is not right. But what everybody say, oh, no, Janine, why do you think that? No, everything is fine. Okay. I spoke to my piano player. I was like, man, let's talk about the future with the choir. How can we make it better? You know, what ideas, you know, can you offer? Let's make a meeting. Let's make a date. Let's meet. You know, this man, he didn't want to meet with me. He's like, well, you know, I don't really have time. I'm like, well, can you make time? He's like, yeah, okay, we can meet next week Wednesday. Man, Tuesday rolled around next week. He wrote me an email. He called me. He's like, yeah, I don't have time because, you know, I got my kids, you know. And I was like, well, man, can you, like, try to come in my direction and make me an offer and let's find out when we can meet? He's like, well, you know, quite honestly, I've been talking so much with the women out of this choir, I'm not in the mood to talk no more. I was like, oh, for real? You've been talking to the ladies in the choir. Oh, it's nice to know that they've been talking to you, but they haven't been talking to me. And can you tell me what you and them have been talking about? Like, what's going on? No, I can't really say, but something about your style or something about you they don't really like. And I was like, what? Like someone, like, talk to me, you know? And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. So it was a lot of hemming and hawing, back and forth, meeting here, meeting there. Man, I shed a lot of tears in 2015, man. 2016, I shed a lot of tears, and I thought I had people who were on my side. They were with me. We understood each other. I built that choir from nothing, man. I built this choir up from nothing, from ground zero. You hear me? I made this. Yo, they had this one big successful event, and all of a sudden, they was like the promies. And all of a sudden, I wasn't good enough no more. What happened? I have no idea. And I still don't know to this day what happened. But anyway, it's all good. That was a big cosmic smackdown for my ass.
Yeah.
That told me, Janine, it is time for you to fall back in a major way. Because ain't nobody out here going to save you, going to help you. You are not to be dependent on anybody.
Right.
Whatever you thought about friendships, about people being loyal, being trustworthy, it's time to throw that all into the garbage, man. You got to reconstruct, and that's when you shorter than a life. I mean, I left Germany for a minute. I went down to Central America, to clear my mind. To break out of this vibration, to break out of this negativity. It was a heavy vibe. It was a heavy vibe because the women in this choir, man, I don't know what kind of connections they got, you know, to the upper crusties of the society around here. So it was heavy because I walked. I said, okay, if we can't reach an agreement, if we can't come onto the same level with each other, then I take y'all to the end of this year and then I'm out, you know, which I think was a kind of a snub for them. I think they wanted to cut me anyway, but they wanted to do it on their terms. But I took the thunder out that thing, you know what I mean? I took the thunder out that thing and I was like, I'm out now. I'll take y'all to the end of this year and then it's done. And they said, okay. Well, you can stop right now, and then it's done. I was like, okay, you want to have the last word? So it's over. I'm out. And, and so I've been flying solo ever since, man.
Absolutely, and that's a great point that I want to reemphasize for all the listening audience, that's how we connected was because her vibration changed to one of becoming a single standing column of waveform energy, which is what I talk about in the life management system where you write your own script. It's great, you know, she developed all this stuff, but it was the universe, it was God's way of bringing her to a place where she can become self-sufficient, where her life was not determined by or limited or promoted by something outside of herself. And that's why this system is so important. That's why what Sister Janine is talking about, her entire story is very profound. If you guys were listening to all of the obstacles that she's been through, still working through, but now she's establishing her own self. So, sis, kind of tell the listening audience that we kind of bring it to a close here today. Let us know where you are right now. What do you have in the plans as far as also talk about some of the stuff that that you've already done, especially I know that was an African choir, if I remember, in Germany that you did something with or you performed with. And then what's the future hold for Janine Smith? What are we working on? What do you have in the works? What's kind of coming down the pipe, so to speak?
All right. I'm still directing two choirs, one big choir, one small choir. I give lessons to children. I take the struggles that I've been through, the challenges coming over this, coming over this threshold, I call it, into a clearing, into a place where I say, okay. I see I was born a 10. I was programmed to be a 0. I fought through. I bust out of the programming. I'm here today to tell my story, and I want to inspire and I want to motivate. I want to motivate, inspire. You know, when I open up my mouth to speak, I want it to nurture. I want.
Yes. You still there, sis? All right, should we? Hello? Are you still there? I don't know if you can hear us or not. I'm not sure if we lost her or not, but But anyway, I'm not sure if we lost Sister Janine or not, but brothers and sisters, what I wanted to say, what we're doing is I'm working with her. She's now taking those. Remember, your problems are your solutions. So what Sister Janine is doing is she's a very talented singer, very talented songwriter. She speaks fluent German. She's also has become the first, if I remember correctly, African-American bus driver, like a city bus driver here in the States over there in Germany, or at least one of the few. And so we're working on things like tour guides. Remember, the universe sends you through some things in order for you to establish those things. If you want to know what you're called to do, all you got to do is look at what you've been through. So one of the things that we didn't really touch on too much was Sister Janine was able to accomplish all of that while not being a part of the life management system. She was always just kind of on the fringes, on the outside looking in. She took advantage of certain classes and some of the pay-per-view stuff, but as far as becoming an official member, I never officially did a Dear Kinney report. We talked a little bit about the numbers, but she took that information, and the reason I'm saying that is because a lot of time, because of the cost of the program, some people are not able to join immediately, but don't let that deter you. Continue to work, continue to put forth, continue to bloom where you're planted. And then God opened the door where funds came in, where she was able to join the program. And then now I'm able to take that and see the skill set, see how this sister has this skill, whether it's teaching people how to play the piano. That's a stream of income. Teaching people how to speak German or German, that's a stream of income. If I wanted to go and take my family, if me and my wife and kids want to go to Germany, where do we go? What's the safe places to go? What if I needed a tour guide? What if I want? That's a stream of income. What if she wanted to do an online video of how to speak German? That's a stream of income. Piano lessons, we mentioned before, cooking, you know, gardening, what it's like to be a professional bus driver there in Germany. So there's a lot of different venues. There's a lot of different ways by which she can express, expose, and expand herself. So she doesn't have a money problem, and neither do you. Nobody has a money problem. A lot of times we just have a creativity problem due to the fact that we limit ourselves into the current box that we're in. So what we talked about today was someone who, although she was born into an environment that she talked about and mentioned that was, you know, we would say, you know, verbally and maybe a little physically abusive, primarily all-female environment in Brooklyn, New York, and she still was able to get herself out of that environment, be noticed. One thing she didn't mention, we talked about doing a one-on-one, how she had someone who told her that when she was a little girl that she would never amount to anything. But then God opened up a door where she was able to travel and do something at no cost, then get into singing, become a backup singer, then a lead singer, and then start her own group and her own choir, then leave the States and go all the way to a whole other country where you couldn't even speak the language, learn the language, assimilate it into that culture, and then go on and to create a choir from scratch, then have that choir or lose that choir, and then still be able to continue to start another choir and go on and do other things. So just like Sister Janine, you guys have talent, you got skill, you have worth, and you got value. Your job is to simply maximize it or to optimize it. That's the purpose of the life optimization or life management course. So, brothers and sisters, I know we lost Sister Janine there at the end, but I want to thank you guys so much for joining me. This is just another client. I got quite a few. I'm going to be interviewing different clients as they get to a point of comfortability, because it is a little difficult, you know, coming online, speaking on Blog Talk, and this goes out to YouTube and a lot of other venues. So, most of my stuff, I have anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people that listen to every show or episode. So, again, that's not millions, but that is quite a few people. And so coming on here, sharing your story, the good, the bad, the ugly, it is a little difficult. So shout out to Sister Janine. I know we lost you there just at the end, but thank you so much for coming on to my Blog Talk show here. Everybody else that's listening, thank you so much for joining me on today's show. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back at 12:30 for my pay-per-view part two. So for everybody that's a part of Geomancy part two, we're going to talk about how, like Sister Janine, how your name, she mentioned the numbers, establishes or constructs your reality. We need to break that down, how that happens scientifically and physically, or physics or math, and then also using scripture. So we've got, again, a great show here in about 15 minutes. So brothers and sisters, God bless you. I appreciate you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. As always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others, cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne.
Listen.
Don't let them entities take up your home,
tripping.
Cause you're the entity that made them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow.
Yeah.
I'll be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love.
Yeah.
Haters wanna give me the mean mug, because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves, they probably need a hug. I'm the one to hit them with this truth, they sweep it under rugs. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and ask some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours, it's yours to show. So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
So do it for yourself, you the day one,
day one.
Now it's time to activate and be the main one.
I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce and show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice and show us how to take it.
Take it.
Yourself, you the day one,
day one.
Time to activate and be the main one. This world is yours, it's yours,
sure.
Do it for yourself, you the day one.
Day one.